If you have your Bible, I invite you to open it with me to the book of Luke. We'll be there, the same passage we've used as we've been in this series. Do more. Also, I'm going to do things a little bit different today. We'll receive the offering at the end of service. But I want to remind you of a couple things. Many of you know that we've been in a BGMC challenge with our kids, 31 days in the month of March. And so we've been asking everyone to help us with that by giving $1 a day. And I know many of you have helped with that, but if you have not, not too late. We're going to receive that offering next Sunday morning. We're going to let our kids be in here. We're going to do BGMC. It's going to be great, and I'm excited. And I'm believing that our kids are going to be able to do a lot. All this money will go to Convoy of Hope, and will help Convoy of Hope with their disaster response and things like that. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, if you want to help us love on some folks, we're going to go and we're going to meet at Trinity, right near Farmstead and behind Columbus Christian Center. We're going to meet at Trinity, and we're going to go love on some of the ladies there and just take them a little gift and a little card, and also the men as well. But I know I asked Pastor Matt to find out how many widows they had, and they said 110. And I said, you know what, I don't know if we'll see all 110, but we're going to see as many as we can. So I need as many people who would like to smile, tell somebody they love them, and be nice to come join me. And if you'll meet me there at 2 o'clock, we're going to reach out and love where we live. If many of you come to our Tuesday small group that I lead called Lunch on the Move. And this Tuesday, we're going to be at Mi Toro at 11:30, and I'd love for you to join us. And then last but not least, Easter's coming. And so I hope that you are being intentional and thinking about who you can invite and who can come and be your guest for Easter this year. I believe the Lord is going to do something pretty special. All right, well, we're going to continue our series, Do More. And I've used the same verse for the past several weeks, and I'm going to use it again. So if you have your Bible, or if you don't, you can look up on the screen. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, 38 says this, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give unto you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I've said this every week, and I'm going to say it again today. Doing more is not the same as doing enough. Doing enough will get us by. Doing more is whenever we become a blessing to people and we go above and beyond. Today I'm going to talk to you for the next 2 weeks on the idea of stewardship and generosity. Today is going to be about stewardship. If you're in here and you're like, immediately you think when you hear the word stewardship, oh, he's talking about money. I am. But that's not all that I'm going to talk about. Because you know the time that you have on this earth, God gives us the ability to be a good steward with our life and what we do. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at what God's Word says today. And I'm excited about being in the house. When you think about stewardship, there's several different things. And most people do gear towards finances. But Tom Rainer's son, Art Rainer, says this. "Use everything you have to point others to God and to advance His kingdom. For this is stewardship." Use everything you have. That doesn't just mean what's in your wallet. How many of you know that you can be a good steward by bringing folks to church, giving people a ride? Some of you are like, man, people are crazy. They're crazy. I understand that. You can be a good steward by your house, letting people come, hosting small groups and different things like that. There are so many ways that I believe God allows us to be a good steward. And that's what he says. You use everything you have to point others to God and to advance his kingdom. This is stewardship. He also makes this statement. God owns everything and we get to manage it for him. The responsible management of these God-given resources is called stewardship. What do you do? How do you handle what God has given you? Mom, dad, how do you handle the children that God's placed in your care? Because, you know, the Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that
that our kids being a gift from the Lord, they're God's, and how we respond to them, how we handle those kids, how we love on those kids, we're being a good steward of what God's given us. Your children, my children, they're a gift from God. How do we handle that? There are three different characteristics I want to show you today that I call characteristics of a good steward. And so number one is, I believe that one of the characteristics of a good steward is, a good steward is grateful. And what do I mean by that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." As a good steward, the first thing that I think is obvious in our life, if we're a good steward, is that we are grateful. Let me just say this. Grateful people are usually not people who feel entitled to everything. When you're entitled to everything, you become ungrateful. Why? Because you always think you deserve more. Now, you probably know people that way. People who always feel like they deserve more. It doesn't matter what they have in life, they always feel like they deserve more. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to earn more. They just feel like they deserve more. Now, I use examples all the time of my kids because this is brand new to us. And Charles, will you fix this thing for me? It sounds echoey. This whole idea of being a dad, I'm still learning as I go. And what do I mean by that? That means that the lessons that some of you learn, your kids are out of the house, I'm just now learning. And one of the things I'm learning about Lucy is she does not understand how to be grateful. She hasn't got to the place where she likes to negotiate with me on what she deserves. Then, her favorite phrase now is, "Are you trying to kill me?" I thought she just said that to me when I spanked her the other day, but I've learned that Lindsay is also trying to kill her. And that poor dog we've got, somebody pray him through, because I honestly think she's trying to kill him. We tell her all the time, "You grab him one more time. If he bites you, we're not gonna do anything about it." Oh, of course, because y'all are wanting him to kill me. Like, that's her thing. This morning, we're sitting there, and she was in my office sitting at my desk. And Alexa said she won't go to Sunday school. I said, "Well, yes, she will." So I went in there, and she was eating Pringles. And she said, "Daddy, I still got a little cough." I said, "No, you don't. You ain't coughed in 2 days. I've been coughing this morning." I said, "You coughing because you drank eating tater chips and you got nothing to drink." I said, "Go on, go to your class." I said, "If you go to your class, then maybe we can do something fun this afternoon." She doesn't know that fun means we're going to take a nap. But I said, "Maybe we can do something fun this afternoon." She said, "Okay." She said, "Can I take my chips with me?" I said, "No." I said, "What if there's kids in there that don't have any?" And she said, "I'll share them." And I looked at her, I said, "Since when did you start sharing?" And she said, "I will. I promise I got two." I looked in one of them, and it was just crumbs where she had done killed the chips, and it was just crumbs. But every time I look at Lucy, sometimes I wonder, God, am I this way with you? Am I grateful for what I have? Am I grateful for the things that you've given me? Or sometimes do I feel like I'm entitled? And that's probably how come whenever I was praying earlier, that was coming out of my heart, because that's what the Lord's been dealing with. He doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe me one single thing. If I ask the Lord to do something and he chooses not to do it, it's not that he's mistreating me, he's not doing me wrong, he doesn't owe me anything. The greatest thing God ever, ever could do for me was allowing his son to die on the cross. And that's all I didn't deserve that. And sometimes in life we see ourselves and we're entitled in our heart. And you may be thinking, "Well, I'm not entitled." Grateful people do things for the Lord, not expecting things back. A lot of times whenever we give, it's easy for us in offerings and stuff. Everybody always says, "I'm telling you, God blesses it, God blesses it." God does bless it because God keeps his word. But don't put money in an offering expecting a blessing. beyond what God promises, okay? God says that he's going to rebuke the devourer. God says he'll open the windows of heaven. God says he'll bless you. I understand what God says, but don't feel like that God is a lottery or slot machine. I was in Kroger last night, and I was buying some things for Lindsay for the cafe, and there was a couple in front of me, and they were putting all their stuff on the belt, and the lady was ringing them up, and they were having this competition of who could guess how much it was going to cost. And the lady, and I laughed, and then I was like, what? I laughed at the first part. The first part was the lady's like, $150. And I mean, I'm looking at the thing going, see, that's the problem with women. Y'all always think things don't cost as much as they really do. There's no way. I said, she could stop right now at $150, but this belt right here is loaded up. Kept going, boop, 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 boop. And the guy, his number was 255. And I think that whenever she was done and she totaled it out, it was 255.17. And the lady said, oh, you good. I need to take you with me to the casinos. He said, don't take me with you there. I ain't no good there. Then he said, but hey, here's the good news. And literally, this was the words that this guy used. He said, this is the good news. Thank the Lord. Mississippi's going to finally have a lottery by the end of the year. And then the lady looked at him. She goes, that's going to do us so much good. And what I wanted to say is, have y'all ever been to Biloxi? Have y'all ever noticed how many pawn shops are in Biloxi? Have you ever noticed that people lose everything they've got trying to get something they feel like they deserve? God doesn't work that way. We don't cash in on God hoping we're going to get a return. P.S. If you play the lottery, I don't play the lottery. If you play the lottery, you better make sure you got enough money to do whatever. And people always tell me, and I'm just going to make this a public statement. People say if somebody won the lottery, churches say they won't take the money off the lottery. I will snatch your arm off taking your money. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. Play the lottery. See what happens if you win. Oh, I hope one of your pictures is on TV. I'll be knocking on your door. Come on. God's promises should be the blessing of the steward, not the motivation of the steward. You don't give to get. You give because that's what God tells us to do. And his blessing, because of that, should be what you get for being obedient. Number two, characteristic of a good steward. They are kingdom-minded people. What does that mean? Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, the earth belongs to the Lord and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. I don't know if the Lord just wants me to repeat this, because I'm going to say it about 10 times probably. Everything you see, touch, in this world belongs to God. He's a creator. If it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't have things. God creates things. God blesses. There's been times where I've wondered why God blesses people that seemingly are so far away from him. Why does it seem like God blesses them? Well, I'm not necessarily going to say that it's the blessings of God. It could be because they're just so wrapped up in evil that it's put on this portrayal that it's the Lord's blessing. But at the end of the day, no matter what it is, God owns it all. And kingdom-minded people understand this. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, I want you to pay attention to that last part. And with the first fruits of all your increase. If you'll keep that up there for me, guys, in the back. Kingdom-minded people know that it's God's to begin with, and they understand that they're to help advance the gospel. They don't negotiate with him. Now, I'm going to just kind of give you my opinion. It's my opinion because I believe I can back it up with Scripture, and this being one of the main Scriptures that I feel like. I get asked this question all the time, and so right now let's just talk and let's just pretend like you're asking me this question when it comes to tithing. I get asked this question all the time. Do you tithe off the gross or do you tithe off the net? Well, let me ask you something. What was your increase?
Well, my increase was what came to my bank.
No, what was your increase? Your increase is the gross. Why is that? Because that's what you work for. That's what you earn. Well, taxes and all that. No. Jesus said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's. He understood taxes. But not only is that your increase, but other things are your increase. Now, it's this time of year where everybody likes to ask this question. Well, I tithe off the gross, so I ain't giving on my income tax. I've already tithed on it. Now, I don't know where you stand on that. I'm just going to personally tell you where I believe. I believe that it's increase. And I believe if it wasn't for the blessings of God and the favor of God, I wouldn't get it. And whenever he says to give the first fruit of all your increase, the girlies tithe on income tax, you say, well, you've already tithed on it. Well, I ain't never seen in the Bible where you cannot outgive God. Why is that important? Because sometimes we negotiate with God, but a good steward and a kingdom-minded person understands it's not, hey, it's all his to begin with. Here's the thing, y'all. There are people right now, and we're so worried about how much we're going to have and how much we're going to leave behind and how we're going to take care of our kids, but we profess Jesus, and it never crosses our mind. And I'm not trying to get into next week, because next week I'm going to talk about generosity. Generosity is what I believe that you go above and beyond. But we never let it cross our mind. What are we leaving that's going to impact someone? Not necessarily that's going to give them an inheritance, but maybe even a spiritual inheritance. I love what Matt Taylor did for his birthday. I don't know if you're on Facebook and you saw it, but Matt Taylor asked all of his friends to give to Speed the Light for his birthday. And he was so excited about it. He was so pumped about it. But Matt understands that money is not going here. The money that people give to Speed the Light does not stay in this church. It's not a play. It's not something that we use to pay salaries or to pay bills. The money that goes to Speed the Light, Matt doesn't get a bonus off of that. That's not how that works. That money, absolutely all of it goes out. And he used two projects. He talked about building a church in Macedonia, and he talked about helping with sex trafficking that takes place here in the United States. And I was so proud of him. Why? Because that's kingdom-minded. It's kingdom-minded whenever you understand that we don't negotiate, we can't outgive God. Here's the thing, God is going to take care of your needs. He never promised you to take care of your wants. But if our needs are taken care of, and we're grateful, then grateful people become kingdom-minded people. Now, I want you to see, and you'll see in just a few minutes, that all this builds on each other, the three different words that I use. Here's what Randy Alcorn says. If God was the owner, I was the manager. I needed to adopt a steward's mentality toward the assets he had entrusted, not given to me. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets, then carry out his will. What God has blessed you with, he intentionally blesses you. Because he wants you to impact the kingdom. Every Sunday, and I'll do this whenever we receive the offering in a little bit. Every Sunday I read this very word to you. Because I know the Lord desires to bless those who follow him. He desires to see you blessed. I pray the Lord cause you to find money in your mailbox. And checks in your mailbox and money in your wallet unexpectedly. Blah, 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 blah. And I said this. God desires for you to prosper so you can impact the kingdom. I speak a blessing over this community of Christ followers that opportunity for advancement would come to you. I bless you to receive raises and bonuses as needed. But when I wrote this, that first line was intentional. God desires for you to prosper so the kingdom of God can advance. I believe that is exactly what the Lord wants. And the third characteristic of a good steward is they are fixed on generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7 says this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, a.k.a. if you're stingy, you will reap stinginess. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let every man give according to the purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity,
For God loves a cheerful giver.
Y'all, there is so many times that in my experience as a lead pastor and then as a staff pastor before that, where I have seen these things take place and I've watched what happens with people who have an attitude that is not a grateful attitude, but in an entitled attitude, you'll usually find they're the ones who give sparingly and they reap sparingly. We've had people in the church who tell stories about their parents, and one particular story that one of our guys tells about his dad and how every time the offering bucket passed, my dad put a $20 bill in. That was it. It was routine. Well, you know, we're thankful for that, but here's the question. Is that a true tithe? Well, if it's a tithe, then God honors that. But God never promised the blessing on tipping. Okay? Well, here he is. I'm fixing to dig in real good, so hang on for the next 5 or 6 minutes. Understand this, though. We get paid a salary by this church that's agreed upon and that's set by the board. It doesn't matter what comes in the offering any week. That does not change how much we get paid. We don't get bonuses. So if you're thinking, oh, he's just preaching because he's trying to get, I ain't going to get a dime more for whatever comes in an offering today. But what's going to happen is this. You are either going to continue to be blessed because you understand the idea of a stewardship, or God's going to bless you whenever you take on the stewardship mentality. So there's three things. The stewards are grateful. A good steward's grateful. A good steward is kingdom-minded, and a good steward is fixed on generosity. It says this, let every man give according to the purpose in his heart. What the purpose in our heart is, why we do it. Here's the thing. If you put money in an offering and you're doing it just because, or you're doing it because somebody's nagging at you to do it, I'm telling you, you should probably keep it. Because the Bible says that he loves a cheerful giver. Whenever we give, we want it to be an act of worship. Why? Because we're having an opportunity to give back to God and to be a good steward. Now, whenever I look at this idea of being focused on generosity, good stewards are not usually looking for a way out. They're not looking for reasons they can't do things. They're looking for reasons they can. Kingdom-minded people and people who are fixed on the future and they're fixed on where they're headed and they're fixed on being generous are people who in their mind have made up their minds that they understand it's not theirs to begin with. I don't know if y'all remember several months back, I had two tables up here, and I loaded the tables down with fruits and vegetables. And one table, if there was 10 heads of lettuce, there was 9 heads of lettuce on one table and just 1 head on the other. And I try to paint you a picture of the way it is whenever we bring our tithe to God, how God will allow us to keep 90%, and he just asks us to give 10% back to him. And so many times we look at that and we think, man, 10%'s a lot, but I hope you'll remember the picture that we painted that day. But if maybe you didn't do that, I would encourage you to get you 10 $1 bills. Lay them out on your table right next to each other. And then when you look at those 10 $1 bills, I would ask you to ask yourself the question, how what's the tithe? Well, it would be easy for you to look at those $10 bills and say, well, one of those is 10%. One of those is the tithe. But here's the thing. It's not just one of those. It's the first one you touch. Because that is the first fruit of your increase. That means that Cable One should not get your tithe money and God get what's left. Well, they're going to cut our internet off. Boo-hoo. There's tons of places with free internet. Well, that's kind of hard for you to say, Pastor. I'm telling you this. I know people right now in this church that challenge me because they're beginning to shave away things that they have in life that's not necessity because they want to do more for the kingdom. And I've told Lindsay, I don't care about leaving a lot of stuff for our kids, but what I do care about is I care about making an investment that's going to last, an investment in the kingdom of God. That, what does that mean? That means that I don't care if Lucy has a silver spoon in her mouth and we have a house or whatever and we leave her this. And I used to get so caught up on that. Y'all, I was so caught up on that. My grandfather was a multimillionaire. And I thought that it was going to be all mine, all my brothers, all my cousins. Guess what? It was all hers. My cousin got it all. And it's caused my brother to have hate in his heart. And you know what I've decided, though? I've decided I'm going to be grateful with what I do have and with what the Lord's giving me. And you know what? God's not taking my surprise with that. But there has to be priorities in life, and a good steward understands priorities. Look, I know this is not the make you shout and holler and you know, throw down sermon. I understand that. But let me tell you this. If you wrap your mind around understanding it's not yours, it's God, and you become a good steward, your life will be totally different. You won't be so worried about what your neighbor has and what you don't have. You won't be so worried about how somebody else has got this and you don't have this. You'll be focused on God and thankful for what He has given you. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let every man give according to the purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. Some of you just had a heart attack because it's 11:30, and I said that. Oh my goodness, have the offering at the end of every service. Billy Graham said this. He said, God gives us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. We are not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for giving. Pastor in Texas, you may have heard of him before. John Hagee has a TV show, and I shouldn't say a show, services on TV. He said this, since my money is God's money, don't miss this. Since my money is God's money, every spending decision I make is a spiritual decision. That right there got all over me, because that's not always the case. Every decision I make is not necessarily always a spending decision or a spiritual decision. A lot of the decisions, spending decisions I make are just want decisions. Yesterday, we were in Academy in Starkville, and Lucy said, I need a snack. And I'm like, no, I need a snack. I'm a snacky eater. You're just a little skinny kid. I'm hungry. Well, I went and got me a snack. Have y'all been to that place called Big Buns that sells cinnamon rolls in Starkville? If you hadn't, y'all need to find your way there this week sometime. Thank me for it. Bring me one back. I like the red velvet cinnamon rolls. So Lucy gets an Academy. She says, I need a snack. And why Gatorade has to have those little sports top bottles where you twist? I have no idea. I mean, other than it's just a brilliant marketing scheme, because Lucy thinks it's the greatest thing ever. She don't want to have to take the top off. She likes to just be able to put it in her mouth and twist it and drink it. She goes, oh, they got Gatorade. I said, all right. And I said, what kind of snack you going to get? She said, I want these Airheads. I said, that ain't no snack. That's candy. She said, you know what I mean. It's a snack. It's something I can eat. I said, then call it what it is. It's candy. I said, you want candy? She said, yeah. Now, I'll be honest with you. I bought candy for one reason. Because I did not feel publicly like I needed to beat her yesterday in front of everybody. So if I gave her candy, it would maybe spare me trying to kill her. Because I'm waiting on her to scream that out loud. I got up there and I paid for the candy and the Gatorade. And it was $5.04 or something like that. And y'all, my mind usually doesn't work this way, but immediately I thought, for $5 more, I could have given a fire Bible. And then whenever we were walking around and I was just thinking about the stuff that we buy and the stuff that's necessity, or we sometimes think it's necessity, I realized even for the preacher, and y'all, I'm faithful. Every week, I tithe, I give to missions, I give to Heart for the House, I give to Light for the Lost, for Fire Bibles. We've been given to BGMC. We give to BGMC every month. Give to Speed to Light for Matt's birthday. Why am I telling you that? Because I do what I'm supposed to do. But even as the pastor, sometimes when it comes to being a steward and being generous, I do enough and not do more. I can give of my time. I can give of my talent, what I do have. But even sometimes for me, whenever you give of your treasure, I remember the first time I started tithing. And I remember I made $100 a week working for my grandpa, and I tithed $10. Then I remember whenever I went on staff at Orchard, and as a staff pastor, I started making like $400 a week. And it was amazing how difficult that same 10% was whenever it was still 10% overall. But it was so much easier to put $10 in an offering than it was to put $30 or $40 in the offering. But I can tell you this, I honestly, unless I just don't remember, I can never remember a time, once I grab the concept of tithing, I can never remember a time not doing it. And can I tell you, in going on 20 years of tithing, and there's others in here who you've been doing it longer, but can I tell you, I've never, ever, ever one time not had God provide for anything I've had need of. There's a lot of things I may have wanted, but He's never left me hanging on what I need. And I tell people all the time, this is why we tithe. This is why I tithe. This is why I tithe. Because God blesses that. And to be a steward of it means that you understand in your mind it's not yours to begin with, that it's all His. God's not, he's asking for your tithe, 10%. He can take it all. He can cause you to lose everything. That's what God can do. But sometimes we don't even understand that concept and we tip God. Do you know the average evangelical Christian? And when I say evangelical Christian, I'm talking about church attending Christian. I'm not talking about people who claim they're Christian but never dart the doors. Church attending Christians, the average church attending Christian that comes to church when the doors are open, how much they give of their income every year? Less than 3%. That's a tip, that's not a tithe. And God's promise is for you to bring the tithe into the storehouse. I'm not trying to sit here today and if you're our guest today and you're like, well, we come on the wrong Sunday. Well, I'll go ahead and warn you, don't come back next Sunday. But check me out the one after that. No, it's good for you. If God brought you in here today, there's a reason. I promise you that. It's good to understand that God blesses. Do not feel like you're entitled to anything. He doesn't owe you anything. You don't have to have the house with the white picket fence. Look, that's not going to happen. I mean, it may happen, but He's not. He don't owe that to you. Matter of fact, it says we earn our bread by the sweat of our brow. You do something. So every week I speak this blessing over our tithe and our offering. And why do I do that? I do that because I believe in the power of blessing, and I also believe that God honors His word. And so in just a minute, I'm going to do that, and we're going to receive the offering just as we normally would. Now, if you've never tithed, and maybe you are a part of this church, and you're not a tither, let me encourage you on a couple reasons I believe that you tithe. Number one, it's because God commands us to do it. Now, there are some people who will say, well, the New Testament doesn't talk about tithing. Just come on, sit down with me, and I'll show you. The New Testament not only talks about tithing, but it talks about giving way above the tithe. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that with me, because it actually comes out about 23-24%. Tithing's Old Testament concept. Here's what I've noticed about people who don't tithe. The people who don't tithe are usually the ones that complain the most about things.
The people who don't tithe are usually the ones who are miserable in life. Because whenever the Lord says that He'll bless you, I don't think it means just in your wallet. I think it means in everything about you. I think it means in your life. I think it means in your attitude. I think because as a good steward, you'll learn to be grateful for what you have, not bitter at what you do not have. So every week, there's four different ways you give. We can give online, give through a church app. You can even text to give. Or you can do what we would call traditional giving. You can bring your gift to the front. You can put it in the drop box outside. There are some people that even mail it in. And I say this all the time, and I mean this. I don't care how you do it. I just care that you do it. Because I want you to be blessed. I read this analogy, and this is what I'm going to close, and then we're going to pray. We're going to receive the offering, then video announcements and stuff. We're going to do all that at the end. I read this analogy, and it said that people can be divided. People who give can be divided into three different types of people. Some people are like a flint. Some people are like a sponge. And some people are like a honeycomb. He said, if you're like a flint, to get anything out of it, you got to hammer at it. And sometimes even after you hit it, you only get just a little bit. Well, I never want to be the preacher that sounds like I got a hammer at it. Then it says that some people are like a sponge. To get anything out of a sponge, you got to squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it even harder. Because the more you squeeze the sponge, the more you get. I don't want to have to squeeze people to be obedient to what the Lord says. But then it says other people are like a honeycomb, which overflows with its own sweetness. And that's how God gives it to us. Gives it to us. Gives it to us. Gives it to us. Gives it to us.